Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So we are in week 4 of our Living on Purpose, and let's just laugh at the idea that we can figure out how to live on purpose in 4 weeks, right? That doesn't probably sound exactly tenable for most of us. If it does, then you probably don't really know what your life purpose is as much as you think you do, maybe, or maybe you do. But we've been defining purpose as, well, who can yell it out? What's the first one? Purpose is being with Jesus. Okay, being with Jesus, believing light.
Jesus.
All right, I'm like, this is not a multiple choice. This is okay. And doing what?
Jesus.
Did. Woo, okay, we can all go home now. Maybe we need to rewind back to week 1. All right, purpose is being with Jesus, believing like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. Okay? All right, so we're going to review. Week 1, we asked the question, what is purpose equal to you? Okay? Because again, we said if purpose equals pressure, purpose equals obligation, purpose equals one more confusing, overwhelming thing, or you're defining purpose as some expectation or standard you're trying to meet based on your past or what someone's tried to put on you, you're not going to want to live on purpose, right? That's why we define purpose how we just said it. Second week, we talked about how moms show us how to check what we are expecting in life, to live hope-filled, and to have courage, right? Last week, we talked about, is your vision for your area of influence generationally minded, sacrificial, and are you doing it out of relationship with God and people, right? So I encourage you, check out the podcasts. They're all online to get back into those. But today we're going to wrap it up with, I was calling it like the doorway to purpose. Because if you don't get anything else, today's message will be the defining factor of whether you live on purpose or not. All right? So the key verse that we've been sharing is, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And yes, I am aware I've been repeating myself a lot this month at the beginning, but that's because I'm really trying to get this into us, right? So we've been saying that God's glory isn't just some abstract thought, but as his glory is filling the earth, that could look like you getting strategies for your workplace, or that could look like, I don't know, different ideas or practical solutions. So God is practical and supernatural. When you live on purpose, you're living practically and supernaturally, okay? So we also talked about how belief turns to vision, which turns to priorities, which turns to habits. And most of us try to change our habits without checking what we're believing. And so that's why we've been talking about what we're believing. We've been talking about life vision. But today we're going to wrap it up with priorities. And I decided that there was literally no way to talk about priorities and habits in 25 minutes and be sufficient. So for the month of June, we're going to actually get into habits. And we're going to look, I think we're going to actually spend some time looking at Nehemiah, possibly. He's one of my very favorite stories in the Bible. There's so much to learn from there. But we're going to get very practical and look at habits. How many have some good habits? How many have some bad habits? There you go. If you didn't raise your hand, that's a habit in itself, right? So we're going to talk about habits, and that's how we're going to actually go into the next month. But today we're going to talk about priorities. And again, you could talk about priorities for the rest of your life. And honestly, every message does touch on priorities just in general. But today we're going to talk about the area in our life that if we do not prioritize it, we will not live on purpose, or at least not on God's purpose. We'll live some other purpose. So living on purpose is not just showing up. It's what you think and what you say when you do. Okay? Living on purpose is what you think and what you say when you show up. And some of this message, I just want to honor Steve Backlund. If you don't know him, he is a pastor that I have been learning from for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. He has a ministry called Igniting Hope. And I got to actually hear him speak last week. And some of what I'm going to share today came from his message because I could not just keep it to myself because it just went so perfectly with our series. So we're going to honor his gifting and his life that kind of dug up some of what we'll share today. But before we do that, I have a very vulnerable question to ask. And, you know, we're a church that believes in doing real life. But how many of you were ever a teenager? Okay. That's a real confession for some of us, right? Now, maybe, you know, I actually have a massive pet peeve about the stereotypes that we put on teenagers. I'm just going to put that out there because it really does not have to be. And if you're saying that stereotype in your house when you have a teenager, you might be causing a problem that you don't want. But I'll leave that off to the side. However, to go off the stereotype, how many of us were ever a teenager and we showed up to do our chores or we showed up to do homework or we showed up to school or whatever and we were kind of there, but we weren't really there? Anybody there, right? You kind of were like, maybe you're bad-mouthing someone or maybe you're just thinking really bad thoughts, right? And the reason I said teenager is because we'd all like to pretend that we all are no longer teenagers. However, as a pastor, I happen to know probably that's not true. But how many know that living on purpose means that we got to get our purpose out of our teen years? Some of us are teenagers and we're trying to live on purpose. And again, don't go tell teenagers in the other room I'm using that example, okay? They're doing their own version of this message today. But it's really important because it's time to thrive. Remember what thrive means. It means mature and it means to grow. To mature and to grow. You cannot be stuck in your teenage thought process of not thinking about what you're supposed to be thinking about or not saying what you're supposed to be saying. And I'm not saying, I hate the word supposed to, but what you say and think matters. Let's just say that. And you can't be thriving if you don't realize this. You can't live on purpose if you aren't checking what you're saying and thinking when you show up. Okay? So we're going to unpack this today. Number one, prioritize your thoughts. What in the world are you thinking? Okay? And this was a Google search. I never ask anyone to Google search because you never know what you're going to get these days. But this was a very funny Google search I did this week. I put, what in the world are you thinking? And again, I'm not advocating because you get some weird stuff. But I got this website that had all these flukes that people did. And there was this picture of a four-wheeler in the back of a pickup truck. And they had wrapped the four-wheeler with like a rope. And then they had to secure it. But then they had wrapped the rope around the wheel of the truck. And it said, what were you thinking? Okay? There was another one where there was this picture of a flat screen. And it was on the floor face down, and this beautiful mantle was on the floor next to it, and it said, do not ever put a giant flat screen on a decorative mantle over your stove. Yes. I had to add one in, which was with Judith. A long time ago, we were on an airplane runway, and I think I've shared this story probably before in other contexts, but we were on this airplane runway, and we were about to take off, and we're taxiing, and then suddenly we hear this big crash, and the whole airplane goes like this, and another airplane had hit us and chipped the back of the tail off the, like, it literally made the news. And then, and of course, we were going to Scotland, and we were full, there were a bunch of drunk Scottish people that we spent the next 10 hours going from gate to gate, and everyone just got drunker. And no, we were not drunk. We were just like pulling our hair out because we were like, this is a really awkward adventure. But what were they thinking, right? What were they thinking? I don't think someone had a job after that day. That's what I think. But I felt very bad, actually. I don't know what happened. Somebody didn't get their coffee. But better that it happened on the ground. Amen. Okay. But there is this new research in neurocardiology that shows that we have a heart brain. Has anyone heard this? It's really fascinating. So I am not a doctor, but I do try to get valid research when I look up examples like this, but you can check it out on your own. But it says that there is a vast array of neurons that are processing sensory information on their own and communicating that information in our hearts to our brain, to our nervous system, and to other organs. This means the heart is able to learn, remember, and make decisions independent of the brain. Hashtag Hallmark, right? They probably funded this. Proof of this comes from heart transplant cases where the person who has received the heart suddenly has memories, experiences, and emotions of their deceased donors. Science has proven the heart sends more signals, everyone say more, to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. Isn't that interesting? It has also been shown that the heart generates the body's most powerful electromagnetic field, way stronger than the brain. So in short, the heart is a major resource of information, wisdom, and influence over our internal and external surroundings. And I love this because in the Bible, if you look at the root words, when it says heart, it often is saying heart and mind. And probably before they knew this research, they were probably thinking, wow, they didn't know what they were talking about back then, or it was just some metaphor, when really, God loves science. God and science are not enemies at all. And I love it when we discover things that actually back up the Bible. Isn't that awesome? There's so many ways you can go into science and discover the Bible. But this scripture, for example, is Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So, for as he thinks in his heart, that first heart actually also has appetite and mind connected to that word. The second heart, but his heart is not with you, is a different word for heart, and it is used with inner man, mind, will, and heart. Okay? So we've got appetite, mind, inner man, will, and heart. And so that just gives a richer perspective, because I think when we think what you think matters, okay, what we think matters, we often think our brain, when God has a much more holistic perspective in mind. So I just want to keep that in mind as we're talking about this. But that word think means to act as a gatekeeper and to calculate. So I want to just re-say this. It says, our thoughts are the gatekeepers that calculate. Isn't that interesting? So your thoughts matter. What you think when you show up matters because your thoughts are the gatekeepers. And I think that's really powerful because we don't often think that. We live today based on what we thought yesterday. That's what Steve Backlund said. And Luke 6 says, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And then Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Okay? We're doing a little Bible study here. I hope that's, well, that better be okay. You're in the spot where it should happen, so let's just keep going. All right. So, and I'm reading this a little bit more because it's a little bit of a tongue twister if I get it wrong, but I want to make sure I'm speaking clearly. So our thought patterns, when we show up, reflect what we think and have prioritized in our heart and ought to ultimately reveal what direction our life is pointed. Okay? You following? So if we find ourselves having negative, self-condemning, or destructive thought patterns, it's a sign we need to go back to check our vision and check our beliefs, because beliefs turn to vision, turn to priorities. And the gatekeeper is a major priority, because what we think when we show up matters. You following? I love this way that Steve Backlund put it. Do you wait for an apple tree to have apples to call it an apple tree? No. Well, what if you get to the apple tree's funeral? Is it still an apple tree that died, even if it never had apples? Okay. So it's just that Mr. Apple had an unfortunately short life. Yeah? But so often we call ourselves and we think of ourselves by our past and what we've done instead of what we are created for. You following? So living on purpose means getting our identity and our thoughts about who we are from who we are created to be, not from what we've already done. So this is the issue. How often do we base our thoughts about ourselves on what we've done or not done instead of who God says we are? And then we say, well, I don't want to fake it. I don't want to be fake. Have you ever thought that? You're like, well, and I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'll explain why later in a minute. But I'm not talking about just being positive. I'm talking about speaking and thinking the truth of Jesus. Because just like an apple tree doesn't have to have apples to be an apple tree, we are the children of God and we have identity in Christ no matter what our life actually looks like. If we never think differently, we're never going to actually be the gatekeeper to living on purpose. And this starts to really affect every area of our lives. Here are some common lies that we can believe, because every lie exists to war against your identity and purpose. Your thoughts are the gatekeepers. How about the lie, you're a failure? That's a very easy lie. How about you've reached your highest level of influence and fulfillment? Anyone ever got that lie? How about God doesn't even like this region? How about your God-given purpose is insignificant? How about your husband or your wife or your situation, just put it in there, drop it in, will never change? Now, there are some things that we can't control, and thank God, right? But I'm not going to speak a lie that curses, that says this can never change. Instead, I'm going to say, maybe God, only you can change it. Yeah? So again, I'm not saying to be positive thinking in some stupid way. We're just not closing the door. The gatekeeper in our mind and our heart is letting God move. Yeah? Yeah? You follow? We don't have to deny the dry bones in Ezekiel, but we're not going to get our beliefs from them. Yeah? You following? And we often get those negative, destructive thoughts because we've had trauma, or we've had words spoken to us, or we've had disappointment, and then we put them on repeat, and then guess what they turn into? They turn into a stronghold. How many know the songs? I'm trying to think of one of the songs that mentions stronghold. I can't think of one right now, but it's kind of like in Reckless Love. It's like he breaks down every wall and he walks through every whatever. It's like there's no wall you won't break down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There we go. There it is. I was a worship leader back in the day. And I think when we think of stronghold, we're like, Jesus, I just break and bind every stronghold. And we would like to go to war against the stronghold just by praying. But what if we put legs to our prayers with Jesus? Because a stronghold is actually a place where a particular belief is strongly defended or upheld. So it's believing the same thing over and over and over again. And some of us are protecting our strongholds and then asking God to get rid of them. And then we're complaining to him while we don't feel like we're living on purpose. We protect the strongholds in our mind when we refuse to let go of hopelessness, when we refuse to let go of disappointment and discouragement, because those things protect the negative strongholds. They say, I'm justified to believe that I'm a failure. I'm justified to believe that I've reached my fullest potential. You following? We're going to preach hard, because if we get out of this month, we got to be able to unlock the gatekeeper of our heart and our mind to live on purpose. But if I don't think differently about myself, I'm not going to take that chance and obey God, or I'm not going to step out. Or if I don't think differently about my friend or my child or my spouse, I'm not going to help them and be a gatekeeper for their purpose. It's not just about me and my purpose. It's about you and your purpose. How can I fight for your purpose, not just mine? You following? 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love that word thought, because guess what it also, that word is connected to? Purpose. So we take captive every purpose to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, I'm going to live on purpose. I'm going to choose to live on purpose by taking captive every thought. You following? So what you think matters. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And I love that pattern of this world because that's like a blueprint for a building. Don't conform to the wrong blueprint here. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That word transformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is the same word used when Jesus was transfigured to heaven. So what you renew your mind with will determine what your life is transformed into. And again, if we protect the negative strongholds, you can have positive strongholds, which we'll talk about next month because that's like a good habit. But the negative strongholds, when we don't let go of discouragement, and you know what? Sometimes we might need to process through discouragement because guess what? Guilt tripping yourself that you're discouraged doesn't work either. Just a little heads up. I've been there. It's like, I'm so mad at myself for being discouraged again. Have you ever been there? And then you're just in a horrible destructive cycle. Sometimes you got to process through. Sometimes you got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive God. You got to figure out how, wait a minute, why is discouragement hanging around my life? I don't want this here anymore. But if we protect it, then we're protecting the strongholds, and then we're not letting God renew our mind and be transformed, and then living on purpose, because what we think when we show up matters. Who I think my friend is, or my spouse is, or my boss is, will determine how I speak to them. Have you ever found yourself, I have done this, I've just said something, and then I'm like, why the heck did I say that? That was horrible, right? And then I realize, oh, I was believing that whatever. Maybe they weren't any good or whatever. And oftentimes it has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with me having a bad day, and someone said it to me, and then I put filters on, and I saw everybody as a threat to me, or I saw everybody as whatever it is, right? And so we get these triggers in our life, and God wants to heal us of these areas so that we can actually live on purpose, and we can see the people in our lives as God sees them, so we can be a gatekeeper for their purpose and our purpose through our minds. Are you following? This is kind of like maybe a little bit of a heavy message, and I'm not saying a negative heavy, it's just a weighty message. One of my favorite things, there was a pastor, and he would yell at his dilapidated house. This is a true story. He would yell, "You're lying to me." And he would yell it. "You're lying to me. You're telling me that this is my highest purpose and potential. You're lying to me." Have you ever had something even something physical that just shoves in your face that you're not worth it? A car, yeah, it could be a lack thereof. It could be your house. It could be when you get to your workplace and you didn't get that promotion, or you didn't get hired at the place you wanted to, and you get out and that place shouts at you, "You're a failure." And I just want to clarify, I am talking about places and things, not people. Don't yell at someone today after church that you're lying to me, as that would be really bad. That's not what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what, can I be completely vulnerable to you? Yeah. We're just going to be real. How many have pulled into the parking lot out church? No, right here. I pulled in after hearing the "You're lying to me" story, and I rolled down my window with Brian, and I yelled at that stupid pothole, "You're lying to me." I said, "You're lying to me. We can have a parking lot that's paved one day. You're lying to me," right? "You're lying to me." I tell you what, the freedom that it broke, I went from feeling poverty and, oh, we have a stupid pothole, it's going to break another car or something, whatever, to, "You're lying at me." I encourage you, this is the challenge from what are you thinking? Because how many know you can try and think something different all day long, but if you wake up and you face the thing that's making you think that way, it's really hard to change, unless you can just pick up and change jobs, or pick up and do this, or how many know sometimes we're going to be in the situation that is actually causing us to think those thoughts, and you know what? Maybe we aren't supposed to leave. And then we need to really get proactive, and maybe we need to think, no, this situation is lying to me. I am worth this. Or, you know what? There is more to life. There is more potential here. There's provision coming. I can live on purpose here. You're lying to me. All right, you following? So if you get one thing from the thinking, that's it right there. Number two, we're almost done here, is talk yourself into purpose. Now, Caleb already preached this entire point almost, so we could probably go have a barbecue right now. But if you didn't know, today is Pentecost, okay? And if you haven't been to Israel or you haven't studied kind of that area, maybe you think Pentecost is a New Testament only celebration, but that is definitely not true. It is a feast that started in the Old Testament. And Caleb kind of already shared about it. It's actually a feast of wheat. It's a first fruits harvest celebration. In other words, the Jewish people are thanking God for a harvest that's to come. Isn't that kind of cool that Holy Spirit came on the day that actually requires faith to celebrate? Isn't that neat? So talk yourself into purpose. So Pentecost celebrates when the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai as part of it. And again, he already said these scriptures, but I'm going to say them again. John 16:13, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That word truth means reality. I love that. He will guide you into his reality. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what it is to come. And then we've got 2 Corinthians 3:3. You are a letter of Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. So Pentecost celebrates when Holy Spirit came, and we didn't have just these expectations that we couldn't obtain, but Holy Spirit came inside of us and wrote his truth on our hearts. And that's what we celebrate today. Because what we think matters, but also what we speak matters. Genesis 1:2 says, now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Anyone ever feel like that just described part of your year? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. How many areas in your life today is Holy Spirit hovering over you, waiting for a word? It says, and God said, what you say matters when you show up. And God said. Luke 1:19 talks about Zechariah, and it says that, well, I'll just read it here. We're just going to read it. We're going to do Bible time here. Luke 1:19, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Now, if I was Zechariah, I'd be like, check mark. Right? That's it. Doesn't everyone want to hear your prayer has been heard by an angel? That's good enough for me. However, we need to hang on, because why? What you say and what you think when you show up matters. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. The angel said to him, I'm skipping a little bit, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So even though his prayer was answered, he couldn't be trusted to talk, because he was going to talk himself out of his purpose. Have you ever talked yourself out of something? And sometimes it's a very good thing, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a very bad thing, because what we say when we show up matters. The question is, are we talking ourselves into our purpose or out of our purpose? Okay? Joshua directed his people not to talk when marching around Jericho. He said, don't shout the battle cry. Now, that's a way to get an army going. Don't shout the battle cry, or yell, or even talk until the day I tell you to. Then let it out a shout. As soon as Joshua finished giving the orders, the army started marching. Some of us, this is a little bit of a dangerous prayer, and I don't mean this in a weird way, so I'll clarify, but some of us are shouting battle cries and yelling at situations and talking ourselves out of God's purpose. Some of us, in order to live on purpose, need to stop talking. or at least change what we're saying when we're saying. Now, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to go to war and pray and do a battle cry in prayer, but some of us are speaking out of a place of fear or another place, and it's like we're talking ourselves out. And God just wants to say, I'm moving. Let your gatekeeper of your mind and your heart be a gatekeeper to my purpose and not take you out of my purpose. Does this make sense? So why don't you stand on your feet? When the Buffalo Bills go into a locker room before the game, are they saying, we're maybe good enough, but I don't know, the opposing team is pretty good, maybe we should just get through the game really fast so we can go have pizza? Is that what that locker room talk sounds like? But how many know that's what our talk sounds like sometimes in the shower on a Monday morning? Like, I don't know if I'm going to get through the day yet. That coworker is really intimidating. Maybe if I just get through my 9-to-5 as fast as I can, then I can go and hang out, or I can go back to bed or watch my show. Anyone ever sounded that way? Let's just be very honest here. I totally have. Or let's try not to lose, right? No, they're in that locker room and they are firing encouragement at each other. And nobody says, that's fake. That's just what are you trying to do? So say something stupid? No, they're building each other up and they're filling each other up with courage to go face what they're going to face. And the world is not intimidated by a church that's thinking low-level thoughts and saying low-level words. Why would the enemy be intimidated by that? The world doesn't need another low-level thinker. We got a lot of people out there that maybe don't have all the perspectives, including the church. What the world needs is someone who is thinking like their thoughts are gatekeepers between heaven and earth. In their family, in their work, in their goals, living on purpose in every area of influence that you have. So the next time you start to think, I'm a failure, or this is it, or this is my highest potential, or I'm never going to change, or they're never going to change, or this will never change, stop and think, is that what Jesus is thinking right now? And if it's not, it's time to switch what you're gatekeeping in your heart and your mind. Because what you gatekeep inside is going to come out of your mouth. And if you find yourself saying things and you're like, I don't even want to be saying this, where is this coming from? It's time to get God's truth, meditate it inside so that his truth is coming out, not something else. And that's what we're going to talk about in June. Because how many know you can't just read the Bible for 5 minutes in a fun devotional necessarily and have that then come out of your mouth consistently. Usually Jesus says we're to be in relationship with him. We're not supposed to be checkmarking him off our day for 5 minutes, right? We're supposed to be meditating. There's a lifestyle with Jesus that brings transformation by renewing our mind with his truth. And we're going to talk about that in June. It's not boring. It's not obligation. It's an incredible adventure that's better than anything else you could do. And we're going to explore that. You can thrive in whatever circumstance when you start thinking and speaking differently. It's not magic, claim it and speak it, but it's Romans 14, and everything that does not come from faith is sin, and Romans 10, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Amen. That's why it's important to think and speak the truth of Jesus and get it into our bones so we can let it out. So, I am going to commission you guys, because we're ending this Living on Purpose, although again, this June, we're going to just kind of go deeper here in purpose and habits, but I want to just commission you to live on purpose. So I'm going to do something here, and if you just have been stirred by God this month, and you're like, you know what, I want to take that step, I want to live on purpose more intentionally, you may not understand exactly what that looks like yet, but we're going to walk that out in June. I just want to invite you just to open up your hands, and I want to pray for you today. And again, it's not anything weird. It's like if I was going to throw a football, you'd catch it, right? And God wants to give out something this morning. And he died on that cross so you could live on purpose. So Jesus, right now, I thank you that you died on that cross to show us purpose, to show us sacrifice. You died on that cross so that purpose didn't have to equal generational messes anymore. Purpose doesn't have to equal obligation. That purpose can equal relationship with you. It can look like being with Jesus, believing like Jesus, and doing what you did. So Holy Spirit, right now, I thank you for releasing a power in this place. As we honor Pentecost and we believe, Holy Spirit, you are alive and moving today. You are hovering over the dark, void areas in our lives that have no shape, and you are speaking life. You are speaking purpose. So, Father, I thank you for releasing purpose where there has been none in every person here. That doubt, that confusion, that those lies of the enemy that have been whispering in our minds have to bow at the foot of the cross right now. We take every thought captive. You cannot be here. You do not belong here in Jesus' name. And thought patterns and addictions and things that have held us in patterns that have been destructive have to break today in the power of Jesus because we are living on purpose. And God, I thank you for a supernatural release of your grace in this place. God, we can't strive to earn anything. We can't strive to get anything from you. It's all through your grace. So we receive your grace that will empower us to live on purpose in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.